to the book of Luke in chapter number 11. We'll continue our study on prayer. I appreciate the message last Thursday night. Brother Tyler brought. I was able to watch that service and thank the Lord for the message. And I was proud of his alliteration. I sent him a message. I was proud of him for that. Appreciate also Sunday and the messages Brother Slee brought and then Brother Randy Sunday evening. Appreciate your prayers for us. Gone a few days. And I just appreciate your prayers and our safety, and Lord bless there. So Luke chapter number 11, the Lord's first teaching on prayer, of course, was there in Matthew chapter number 6, his direct teaching on prayer. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And we've studied that and looked at that. But I want you to see, let's keep something right there. Look back in Matthew chapter 6. Look at this real quick with me. Matthew chapter 6, and just to remind ourselves, again, the Lord had called his disciples. He then gathers the disciples and a multitude there on this mountain. And he begins this lengthy message on the life of a believer, being part of the kingdom of God and what it means for the Lord to be king of your life. And he goes through in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, and continues to teach this all the way to chapter number 8 when he comes down off that mountain. But we see part of this sermon is he directly teaches on prayer. And I'm not going to re-preach those messages, but in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse number 6, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse number 8, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." So we studied the fact that, number one, the Lord wants us to understand about prayer. This is really the first teaching given in the Word of God on how to pray. And we see that the Lord gives us a knowledge that, number one, when we go to God, He's our Father. That word is mentioned 3 times. He wants us to understand that relationship, that we're not talking to some untouchable God, but He's our Father in heaven. And we noticed and we looked at this and drew this out of this passage that our Father is waiting for us in secret. Amen? And then that the Lord wants to help us. Amen? And that He's wise and knows how to help us. He knows what needs before we even ask Him. And so we establish that and we see the first teaching, and then He goes in and says in verse number 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So he gives this illustration of prayer as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Now we go over to Luke chapter number 11 to our text. In this passage of Scripture, this is about a year after the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord, again, in chapter number 10, He sent out the 70. The Lord did some great and wonderful things. They come back rejoicing. There are those who tried to tempt the Lord, which is always a bad idea. The Lord used the power of words to teach the truth. He gives a story in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Then in chapter number 11, it says this in verse number 1. "It came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And He said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them," now, He gives this, they, again, this is about a year later, the disciples listen to Jesus pray. Wouldn't you love to listen to Jesus pray, amen? But they listen to Jesus pray, and when He's done praying, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, in Matthew chapter number 6, He taught, and they were there, a lesson on prayer. I'm glad I'm not the only one that needs a second and a third and a fourth lesson, amen? They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So He repeats the lesson. He says the same thing. Because prayer is nothing that we have to try to, you know, figure out in some deep mystery that we can't do. It's pretty simple. He gives the same exact lesson. You see, we'll skip some verses in verse number 9. He looks at them and says the same thing again as we studied. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Again, this is part of what he said back on the Sermon on the Mount. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Remember we studied that? Amen? For everyone that asketh, receive it, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So he gives them this really same lesson. Everybody with me? But right in the middle of it is an interesting parable. Right in the middle of this same lesson, Lord, teach us to pray. He gives them the same lesson that he taught them back in Matthew chapter number 6 while they were on that mountain. But he adds this parable for the disciples. Start reading with me there in verse number 5. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So here right in the middle of this teaching, the Lord stops and he gives this story about a man who has a friend who comes to visit with him. At midnight, he realizes he needs to give him some food, so he runs over to his other friend's house and he knocks on the door and asks for 3 loaves. He said, I have nothing to set before him. The man inside the house says, his friend says, trouble me not. The door is now shut. Now, when we read that, at first you may say, well, wait a second. I thought God answers our prayer. Well, he does. Matter of fact, he follows this story with those words that we know in verse number 9. Ask, and it shall what? Be given you. Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That promise is not negated. So what is this story about? Why now? Why is the Lord teaching this? What's the point of this story right in the middle of the teaching on prayer? Verse number 8, we see, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The good friend ends up giving him all that he needs. So the story and the principle of prayer is absolutely true. Amen. He got what he needed. Y'all with me? So what's up with this parable? What is the message here? The Lord had given them instruction once there in the Sermon on the Mount. They hadn't quite got it yet. He gives them the same instructions here on what prayer is. In the first lesson there in Matthew chapter number 6, the focus is on this. It's kind of the introduction to the lessons on prayer that the Lord gives. And what is that first lesson? That you are praying to who? The Father. Amen? There's a relationship there. He knows your needs. He wants to take care of you. This time he gives the same instructions. Amen? What prayer is? But here in this story here, when the man goes and knocks on the door, he doesn't get his answer at first. We still see the end result is ask and seek and find and fellowship and knock. But the Lord's lesson in this parable is for us tonight too. Because the disciples hadn't got this yet. Prayer is the same thing. He even gives the illustration there on how to pray in the same passage of Scripture here. But there's a special lesson for them and for us tonight. The prayer is not something that we pull out in emergencies. Prayer is not something that all of a sudden, wait a second, I need 3 loaves. Fill in the blank, whatever your 3 loaves are. Oh no, I need three loaves. Let me run and pray. The Lord taught them a lesson here in this short parable that prayer is about relationship and a reality and a responsibility and then a reward. I want you to see this. Number one, the relationship. Now, if you don't get much, yeah, I hope you get this. In verse number 5, he said unto them, I was going to give him a story to make this point of prayer. Which of you shall have a what? The first lesson focused on the fact that when you pray, you're praying to who? Now the Lord's going to reveal something a little bit extra. He's not just your father. He's your friend. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? That's a glorious thing, isn't it? We have a friend that we can go to at any time. Amen? I don't care if it's midnight, morning, evening. You have a friend. Listen to me. Prayer is an appeal to the friendship of God. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we find a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. When you understand this thought as just being shared here by the Lord, it gives us such great liberty in our prayer. That when I go to prayer, our Father, we're praying to our Father. Amen? Lesson number one. A Father, if we being sinful as fathers, know how to provide for our children, how much more shall our Father in heaven, who loves us, He will listen to us. He's almost bound, you know, if you will, as a father, to take care of us as His children. And that is true, and amen for that. But there's more to that. He's not just that, but as the Lord introduces, He's as a friend. A friend. A friend who provides because He loves. Because, ready? He's kind. Amen. Amen. Ready? Because He wants to. The fact is this, our relationship with the Father will never change. If you're God's child, you'll always be God's child. But, as a child of God, the prodigal son story is a great illustration. While the relationship never changes, the fellowship can be broken. And just as in the story of the prodigal son, the father didn't follow around the son and bail him out every time. I'm sure he had needs. Fellowship was broken. The relationship of a friend is a relationship built upon living as friends. It rests upon conduct. I mean, me and Brother Alexander are friends. We've been talking. You know, he's been trying to learn how to fish. I'm trying to help him, all right? You know, I've given some advice and, you know, trying to help him out there. You know, and I told him, my grandpa gave me a small little boat. I said, if you and your wife want to use it, you're welcome to it. You know why? Because we're friends. Now, if he comes up and punches me in the nose tonight and spits on me and says, I never want to talk to you again, he's not using my boat. When I was a teenager, my friend Matt, which most of you know, he got a job. And when we went down for my grandpa's funeral, we passed the little place, and it's called Reed's Drugstore. And that was his first job, and he was working there. He did the cashier. And the pharmacy was in the back. Some guy named Mr. Reed ran the store, obviously. But he got paid on Fridays, and you can ask him. Every Friday, I went into Reed's Drugstore and asked him for $5 because I didn't have a job. My parents wouldn't let me work, and so, you know, I walked in and said, hey, can I have $5? And he always said, yes. He called it my allowance. And every Friday I went in and he gave me $5. We were friends. Giving between friends is a free choice. You know why you give to your friend? Because you want to. which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? When we pray, we're praying to our Father.
Amen.
But we're also praying to our friend who wants to help us and chooses to help us. But that relationship and that fellowship depends on conduct. So that's a harsh statement. John 15, verse number 14 says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Amen? If we want to enjoy the full benefit of prayer and to go to Him as our friend, you need to live the right kind of life. You can't live an ungodly life and talk about wicked things and laugh about wicked things and watch wicked things and go to wicked places and live a wicked lifestyle and expect God to just pour out all these blessings on you. Listen, you need to act right. Obey His commandments. There's a relationship there. He's our friend. If you don't get much else tonight, I don't want you to understand when we bow our heads, we're talking to our Father, who's waiting for us. He wants to help us, and He knows our needs as our Father. But we're also talking to our friend. I'm not trying to pull God down on any level. I'm just telling you the story that God gave here that He wanted the disciples to understand. That He's not just a God up there that wants to help. He loves you and freely chooses to be a blessing to you.
Amen.
You see a relationship, but then you see a reality. Your reality. Look in verse number 6. It says, the man goes and he knocks on the door. Which of you shall have a friend? In verse number 5, shall go unto him at midnight, saying to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Look what it says in verse number 6. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." This is so important tonight. I want you to see the reality is that he is going to his good friend at midnight on behalf of his other friend. Stay with me. God is your friend, child of God. And he wants you to be a friend to others.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Really? If you want to get anything to start understanding what a Christian life is, you need to understand this principle. It's not just my opinion. It's what the Lord said. Look back real quick in Matthew chapter 22. Look back at Matthew 22. Now follow with me. Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37. Matthew 22 and verse number 37. I guess I'm just focusing. I believe this is a wonderful thing. But too many Christians today feel like they can't pray, or they think that God doesn't want to help them, or that God has pushed them aside. There could be nothing further from the truth than that. He's your Father. And the Lord himself said in an illustration when we go to our friend. What a wonderful thing. Here in Matthew chapter number 22, look with me in verse number 37. Again, someone came to him, verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Verse 37, Jesus saying to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
Amen.
You understand what the Lord said here? That the most important thing that we can ever decide to do is, number one, choose to love the Lord God. Amen? Why would I love the Lord God? Well, the Bible tells us why. We love Him because what? Because He first loved us. When we realize the great love that God has given to us in sending His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When we understand the great love that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we grasp the great love that God has always had for us, then we make the choice to love Him.
Amen.
What a glorious day, the day you made the choice to love the Lord God. The day you got saved, amen? But then after you're saved, if you know God, you're going to love people. If you don't love your brother, 1 John says, you're in darkness. The fact is this, if you love, and the Lord said it, the first and great commandment is the day you made the choice to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You say, what does that mean? You're committed. The day that I married my wife, we stood right up here on this platform, made our vows to each other, and that day I committed my everything to her. I will not have a heart for another lady. My thoughts will be on her. My life for her. Every man should agree with that for your wife. I committed my love to none other but to her. Aren't you thankful for the day that you realized God loved you and you made the choice to commit your love to Him? Now we grow in that love, but the Lord says here in this passage of Scripture, He answers, this is the great commandment to love the Lord God. But the second is likened to it. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love other people. This world's messed up right now, isn't it? This country's messed up, isn't it? Let me tell you what it needs. God's people to show them God's love. Now, if you think I'm trying to make something out of nothing, the next verse in this passage says, on these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the law and prophets. If you don't get this, nothing else is really going to work. Amen. If you don't choose to love God and to love people, there's a lot of hatred out there right now. And it's sad, a lot of hatred's coming from a lot of God's people. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love. One toward another. Love your enemies. Amen. We are supposed to be a... Now we speak the truth. We don't compromise the truth. We speak the truth, but there's two words after that. What? In love. We share God's love with people. We tell other people. And I get back to my text here and understand, but this man went to his friend to find help for his friend. I got news for you today. God intercessory prayer warriors have a way of just God pouring out His blessings. He looks, when you know God, you need to love other people as well. God's friendship to us is closely related to our friendship with other people. The power of God is revealed in this. Abraham prayed an intercessory prayer and God's power was shown in a mighty way. Moses prayed an intercessory prayer and God's power was shown in a mighty way. Samuel prayed an intercessory prayer and God's power was shown in a mighty way. Elijah prayed an intercessory prayer and God showed Himself in a mighty way. We need God's power in our life and we need to get a hold of God, but the way to get a hold of God is go to Him on our friend's behalf. Amen. To our friend. Amen. And when we reach out, we draw near to God and we understand that there's someone that God's brought into our life that may be poor or perishing or needy. When we go to them, God, and say, God, I want to help them. I want to help them. And when we do that, that tugs on God's heart. Because He wants to help them too. Amen. There's a reality for a friend of mine is come. There's a relationship. You have a friend you can go to. But number three, there's responsibility. In verse number 6, back in Luke chapter number 11, it says, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. This is why I believe God gave this parable. Because the fact that us going to God, our Father, and now our friend, we go to Him, we'll find help. Amen. The point of this parable is not to teach that God sometimes folds His arms and ignores us. Obviously, that's not the lesson. Because the very next verse is ask, seek, knock. Amen? Amen? But the point of this parable here in this passage, what God is trying to teach is this. This man who went to his friend to find three loaves for his friend. Now look at me. Should have done and prepared for himself earlier. He should have had something ready. But instead, he wasn't prepared. If you think the teaching of this passage of Scripture is just that God sometimes says, I'm going to wait. I don't want to answer. Well, that contradicts everything else that Jesus has taught. But when you understand here that there is a great friend who someone comes in intercessory prayer, but you notice that the great friend here says, trouble me not. The door is already shut. I believe the lesson here is this, that this man knocking needed to first understand that he had neglected to do what he should have done. I can give you countless illustrations of that in the Scriptures. I'll go back to Genesis. Abraham prayed an intercessory prayer for Lot and his family and the city. Lot was saved. But right before he left the city, remember what he did? He went around knocking on the doors, begging for his family to leave and loved ones to get out, beating on the doors. But they looked at him as one who was mocking. The United States of America needs now more than any time that I can recall, and few other times in history, needs the Lord's churches to stand up and do right. But I fear that many times we as God's churches have treated prayer like something that we just can't quite grasp. Or we only go to God in cases of emergency when the bad health report comes, or the car breaks down, or the bank balance is zero. And then we run to God and say, wait, God, I need this, I need this. When we should have had this relationship all along. And it's time for God's churches, especially in this country, we know what to do. We know how to pray. Yet so many are living a life of fear, locking the doors, scared to go on, feeling that they don't have any hope. And what we as God's people need to understand tonight is that we can run to our Father. He is our friend. He will help us. Amen. He will be there for us. But I believe this man knocking had to first come to grasp as he's knocking, okay, I should have. And I gave that illustration of America because this, America's in a mess. So much hatred. Truth? Where were they supposed to learn love? Where were they supposed to learn what love is? Not Hollywood. Not novels. God is love.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. This world doesn't love. And I feel like a lot of churches are running now to their friend saying, hey, help us! Maybe God is waiting until we get to a point where we say, okay, I messed up. I'm not being harsh. This is what God spoke to me about. When was the last time you shared God's love with somebody? This week? This month? This year? We get so frustrated at this country and all the hatred that's out there. Where are they supposed to learn love? Where are they supposed to see what true love is? How are they supposed to learn about God? How are they supposed to learn of what true love is? A heavenly love, a godly love from God's people. But we found ourselves at midnight. We found ourselves at midnight in a mess. And there's nothing wrong with going to our friend in heaven and our Father and saying, God, help us. We need His help. But we also need to recognize I've been negligent too. You catch that? These disciples with others had just gone out and done some amazing things. Previous chapter. They came back on top of the world. Lord, we did this, and God, you blessed. Then they hear Jesus pray. They say, teach us to pray. He gives them the same lesson. This time he gives them a story. You're talking to your friend. He wants to help you. You have a responsibility to help people. But you need to learn to do what is right daily. I want God to fix our country. Amen. It's good to pray. It's awesome. Would you pass out a tract?
Amen. Amen.
I want God to heal our land. Amen. I'm going to my friend tonight, and I hope you do too. Heal our nation. But what have you done? Hey, we need 3 loaves down here. But what have you done? You see the responsibility and you see, lastly, the reward. Verse number 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. That good friend got up and gave him everything he needed. When the man realized his inadequacy, he couldn't do it. But he kept on knocking. You know why? Because he had faith. That this heavenly friend, he could do it. Sometimes he delays on an answer. But he's still your father. And he's still your friend. You say, well, why the delay? Same in this passage of Scripture. The Lord's helping the disciples understand what prayer is. Because maybe he's building our faith. Because you know how, let's just use our imaginations a little bit. Because we know the end of the story. After this story, I say and do ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Please. I need 3 loaves. My friend is here. Friend, will you please help me? The door shut. I know I should have been prepared, but they're needy. Will you please help me? Will you please help me? Can you imagine they're standing in the dark, and all of a sudden, the lamp is lit. And the door opens. And the good friend says, here's everything you need. That's who we're praying to. You say, but I've asked God to do this and He's not done it. Maybe there's a lesson you haven't got either. That God's building your faith. Maybe there's something in our life that He's waiting on us to recognize. Maybe in humility we should fall before Him tonight and say, oh God, I see it. The lesson on prayer is the same. But His disciples had to learn something very important here. That they needed Him. and they could go to him. But God expected them to not use this as some emergency get-out-of-jail-free card. But there's a relationship you should enjoy every day. And do what you know that is right. I guarantee this, if the story would be true, that if there was a second chapter, the man got 3 loaves and kept them ready. America needs God's help. And if I want to blame anything for the state that this nation is in, judgment must first start at the house of God. Because love has been replaced with hatred. The gospel is something we've confined to the four walls of a building. But we need to go out there and do what's right.